From 90.7 WFAE Charlotte, 90.3 WFHE Hickory, welcome to Charlotte Talks. I'm Chris Clackham, sitting in for Mike Collins. Expectations are high inside, even outside the travel industry, that this summer of 2012 is going to be a very busy travel season. There's a lot of pent-up demand, they say, among Americans who haven't been able to vacation very much at all, given the economic upheaval of especially the last 5 years or so. But they've saved, they've sacrificed, now they're ready to roam. They just need a terrific destination and an affordable way to get them and their family there. Let's get some ideas on places you may not have thought of yet, others that you may have thought of, and some travel tricks to bring that destination within reach. Joining us today, three well-known Charlotte-based travel experts, John Bortson, travel editor for the Charlotte Observer. John, great to have you back.
Good to be here.
Bob Taylor, travel writer whose work appears in the Washington Times and the Charlotte Observer. He also has his own travel club and has set a goal of traveling to 100 different countries. Where do you stand?
69.
And in case you're wondering from the longtime Charlotte residents, yes, it's that Bob Taylor, formerly of WPTV. Bob, good to see you again.
Turned in my spikes.
Mark Vanek, also a travel writer whose work appears in the Charlotte Observer. He has a blog called Flying Standby with Mark Vanek. He's also a frequent guest on WCNC's Charlotte Today. I do like seeing that. Mark?
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right, let's start off here. Do you agree with that assessment that I just gave, that there's a lot of pent-up demand among Americans who feel like they have sacrificed, they've done all the right things during the economic upheaval of the past few years, now they're ready to reward themselves? John Bortson.
I think that probably this year more than others that happens to be the case. It has been a hard year for many, many people, and there comes a time where you just have to break away. You have to see something different. You have to get away from the grind and recharge your batteries. And I think people are going to be doing that come heck or high water.
Because they feel like they at least owe it to themselves. It's not necessarily that they can afford it any more today than they could a few years ago. It's just that they have... They've kind of, you know, stamped their card, so to speak.
I think people have always been trying to get away, and for the most part they have. But I think people are getting savvier, and they're looking a little closer at where they can go, what they can afford, and what is possible. And I think they're doing their homework this year more so than ever before.
Mark Vanek, you're shaking your head.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really agree with what John's saying, that, you know, there's a lot of pent-up, you know, frustration. People need to recharge those batteries. John, I think you said it best with, you know, just get out, see the world, see the planet, come back, you know, to Charlotte and in this area with a new frame of mind and a new perspective.
What's the benefit of it, Bob Taylor?
Discovery.
Yeah.
Self-growth. You know, I have a theory about travel. Some people, you know, say I'm not going to go because it's too expensive or whatever. You know, once you do the trip, once you take off and go, and once you have the experience, nobody can ever, ever, ever take it away from you. And I think that's really important, because you always come back a bigger and better person no matter where you go.
And do you have to go far?
No, you don't have to go far at all. I personally prefer international travel, but you don't have to go far at all to have a life-altering experience. And most of the time, if you are willing to take the opportunity, travel will change you.
There was a prior to the show, John Bortson, go ahead.
I spent the last 2 weeks, last two weekends, repainting the kitchen that my wife just had redone. And number one goal for me is getting down to Greenville, South Carolina, and hitting the Shakespeare Festival.
Right.
I don't have to go far just to get away and just come back a fresh man.
We had you on the program a couple of years ago. Not a fan of staycations.
No.
We were talking about that whole idea where you define staycation for us.
It's kind of a modern Japanese concept. I think it's a pretend vacation. It's putting on your tourist clothes and walking around the block, which to me is not getting away.
Right. And the alternative to it is, again, the key to it is just getting away.
Exactly.
Sleeping in a different bed.
Sleeping in a different bed, right. just getting out of town and waking up and seeing something different.
Well, and I agree. You know, just having somebody, you know, take care of you or take care of the, you know, the simple things like making up the room and making up the bed. You know, it's nice to be pampered every now and then.
There are plenty of things to do in North Carolina and the Carolinas in general, the Southeast. Would you even be opposed, John Bortson, to day trips where you're coming home at you're striking out early in the morning, going to that interesting destination nearby, then returning for the evening?
It's getting out of town. It's getting somewhere, doing something. That constitutes a day trip, and that's a one-day vacation.
Okay, let's move here. Your number one vacation destination recommendation that you guys, as travel experts, that you think people would find fascinating, educating, entertaining, enriching, relaxing, or all of the above. Mark Vanek.
The number one. I mean, we're just going big right away, right off the bat. And I would say, yeah, I would recommend San Diego, California. It's an easy in from Charlotte. You can fly in directly, get there in about 4.5-5 hours. And I tell you what, there is a plethora of things to do in San Diego. And everything's real close by. I mean, you know, you rent a car and you can, you know, La Jolla Beach is just, you know, 6-7 minutes down the road, and Mission Bay. There's so much to do. And especially during summer, large U.S. naval presence, very patriotic community.
And not the least of which, the attractions, topping the attractions, Balboa State Park, right in the middle of town.
Absolutely. You know, everybody talks about the zoo and, you know, and SeaWorld, but there is so much. San Diego is so much more comprehensive of a place to visit than those two things, Old Town. And I like San Diego by the sea. You know, get out there, get out on the San Diego Bay and, you know, take a speedboat adventure or a dinner cruise at sunset. And yeah, it's just a beautiful place.
Is there a way to go to a place like San Diego on the other side of the country affordably, though?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, the airlines are being very competitive right now with rates. You know, you got to dig deep right now. You got to get in. You got to do your homework on these places. There's wonderful places to stay where they come with fully furnished kitchens, you know, pull out couches. So you can absolutely get a family of four in, you know, in sort of a condominium type luxury suite and really make the most of it. Save money. Don't go out every night, you know, dining and fine.
Take advantage of the kitchen.
Absolutely.
For breakfast and sometimes for dinner. Or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. And, you know, also look for certain coupon books and things like that. You know, that say, for instance, San Diego Today magazine or something. They'll have often, you know, really nice passes, 2-for-1 passes to different, you know, amusement parks or whatnot. And
okay. So. What's your number one destination, Bob Taylor?
Domestic or international? Or both? Either one.
Either one.
All right. Well, people ask me that question all the time, and I wrestle with that problem because every place I go, I like. It doesn't matter where. Something is always redeeming about every place I have ever been. But I'm going to say Switzerland, and the reason I'm going to say Switzerland is because it's an easy place to go for Americans. They speak basically four languages.
Correct.
Swiss German, Italian, French, and Romansh. Romansh is the smallest, and they're trying to preserve that. But they all speak English. So that's an easy place to go. But the transportation system in Switzerland is so incredibly easy to use that it makes it a delightful destination. The scenery is beautiful. The food is good. And it is such an easy destination to get around that it's even for someone who has never traveled before. Now, it's not cheap. I will say that it's not cheap.
I was getting ready to ask you the downside.
No, the downside is that it is not cheap. However, I will say this. If you use a Swiss rail pass, rail passes are one of the great travel bargains going. Mm. I became a believer in rail travel years ago when I did produced a video for Eurail Pass. And I was a typical American, rent the car, take off, and hit the open road until I started using the European trains. And Switzerland has a transportation system that is tied with the Swiss Federal Railroads, but they have over 400 private rail lines that are connected with the Swiss Federal Railroads that use the rail pass. And so over time, the rail pass becomes a huge bargain. But one of the few things that people don't know when they use rail passes are the bonuses that come with them. If you go to Switzerland, you have a Swiss rail pass, your pass is good for free admission to over 400 museums in the country of Switzerland. That is a huge savings, and there are great museums throughout the country. So there are ways to save money, and as Mark said, the two key things to being able to travel and save money. One is research, and the second thing is logistics. If you pay attention to how you travel and where you travel and the way to travel, you'll save some money.
While it may make sense to rent a car in San Diego, it would make more sense to take the public transportation,
absolutely,
the trains in,
absolutely,
Switzerland.
Take the trains in Switzerland.
John Bordson, your pick.
Before I make a pick, what I'd like to also add to what Mark said, a couple other considerations get in. One, where do you know people? Mm. Where do you know people? Because that's an easy way, even if you're just crashing at their place for a couple days. There's some cost off the top right there. Something else to consider is to recognize how fortunate we are in Charlotte to be where there's an airport where you can fly direct to so many places. And if you're flying point to point, you're going to be saving money. It's always going to cost you more, for example, to fly from here to, say, Portland, Oregon, because you can't get there direct that easily, okay? San Diego, you can fly direct. And when you can fly direct, you are effectively always going to be trimming your flight costs. For driving, one of the places that I like a lot that has a little of everything, and I think that's something people should look for. You want some culture, you want some sports, you want a little of this, a little of that, you want good food. One place that's always been on my radar is Norfolk, Virginia.
Wow. Yeah, interesting place.
It is. There's the Chrysler Museum. You have great maritime museums. You have history. You have a very good food scene. You have the Ghent neighborhood, which is just fantastic. There's a lot of cool things in Norfolk and in Virginia Beach.
Not to mention, Mark Vanek, you're a fan of nearby Williamsburg.
Yes, it's funny that John brings that up. But once again, you know, being the flying standby guy, you can fly into any one of these airports in Virginia. You can fly into Richmond. You can fly into Virginia Beach. You can fly into Newport News directly, just like that. And, you know, the flights aren't always full. So the airlines, once again, are really working to get your business. But, yeah, I love Williamsburg. I tell you what, there's so much to do there and so much to see. The, you know, colonial reenactments as well as Busch Gardens, voted most the world's most beautiful theme park 23 years in a row.
But how do you literally fly standby? Do you do that?
Yeah, I literally do. Yeah. And, you know, it's not always as glamorous as it might seem.
Would you recommend that for a family of four, however?
You got to really get creative.
Yeah.
You might have to split up. I've been in Panama City Beach just recently, and there was a family that missed a flight. It's a smaller little airport. And so when you miss a flight, because they were flying all the way, you know, back to Los Angeles, California. And I tell you what, I was telling them, you might want to think about splitting up because, trying to get a family of four onto crowded planes is not an ideal situation.
That's Mark Vanek. He's author of the blog Flying Standby with Mark Vanek. Bob Taylor's with us as well as John Bordson from the Charlotte Observer. We're back with more of Charlotte Talks right after this.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Garage Door Guru, providing local comprehensive garage door service for over 11 years, including repairs and door installations. Now offering Herman Garage Doors. Details and appointments, 704-661-9070. Coming up tomorrow on Charlotte Talks, we find out how the Carolina Raptor Center nurses birds in the rehabilitation program, nurses them back to health, how they train them, release them, and more. Then we'll soar into outer space in the second part of the program, where Venus is about to pay us an extremely rare visit. Local astronomers will fill us in on our sister planet's transit When Charlotte Talks, tomorrow morning at 9 on 90.7 WFAE. If you'd like to join our summer travel show today, give us a call now, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323 or online, wfae.org/charlottetalks.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Flame, Stuxnet, Plan X. Governments, businesses, and consumers are under attack in what the Pentagon classifies as the fifth domain of warfare, cyberspace, the growing threat of cyber warfare.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, your NPR news source.
Back on Charlotte Talks, I'm Chris Clackham, sitting in for Mike Collins. If you want to join our discussion about where to get away to this summer, please give us a call. Our phone numbers are 704-926-WFAE, that's 704-926-9323, or 1-800-603-9323. Jump on our website, wfae.org/Charlotte Talks. You can find out more. We were talking before the break, about flying, and we were beginning to touch on one of my favorite topics, and that is the deterrent to travel. Sometimes with gas prices, with the baggage fees, there are deterrents to travel. But John Bordson, that's not the way that you should approach a leisurely getaway, huh?
I don't think so. I think that if you're too much attuned to the 24/7 news cycle, you're going to wonder about why should you ever leave your house, period. Okay? You have to take everything with a grain of salt. All countries have their hot spots, their problems. People are people wherever you go, and unless you go out and see where they are, you're never going to have a good sense. And travel's a lot safer. Than you'd think. Whenever you see the footage on television and you see some crisis going on, well, if you're a tourist, that's not where you are.
How do you become a savvy traveler, though, when you're faced with those baggage fees and the
those
family
astronomical afford? Baggage fees? Right. I saw that there's one new airline that wants to charge you even for one bag.
And charge for carry-ons.
Charge for carry-ons. They're charging you for everything these days. I don't know how you get around it. I know, you know, the airlines for so many years were losing money. I mean, they were just bleeding money. That they got into this attitude of all these little add-ons, and now there's just no way to break the system. And it's
Saw that there was a senator that was appealing to some CEOs at certain airline companies to say stop the madness, because I mean it's just getting too carried away, and it is. It's becoming a big drawback when, you know, you get out to the airport and, you know, is your luggage over 50 pounds? If it is, you know, you just exceeded the one bag limit, and you know, and they just keep, you know, gouging and gouging. But I think that you do, you know, need to incorporate. If you're going to be going to Europe, say, for instance, and you're going to need to be taking a lot of bags, maybe just sort of incorporate those costs into your travel.
Yeah. One thing that people do is they invariably take too much. That's it. Unless you're an astronomer going on an astronomy trip, there's no need to pack all this stuff. Okay. The last trip I took, it was up to Brooklyn a couple weeks ago. I didn't take any carry-on. If I needed something, I just buy it. Mm. You know, you don't need to do that. If you're going to San Diego.
You're talking about like toiletries or.
Yeah, or other things. If you're going to San Diego, you're going to want a shirt that says I was at Balboa Park or something like that. Fine, just go. Just go and buy it there. And when you're getting ready to go home, go down to the front desk and say, hey, can you put this in a box? How much would it cost? $10. Boom, there you go. Okay, and all your souvenirs you can wear. Right. You don't need to be taking all this stuff. It's crazy.
I've actually thought of that. Excuse me, Bob, but I've actually thought, is it less expensive to sort of box your stuff up
right.
and ship it out
right.
to a resort or not?
Peter right. Greenberg does that. That's yes. how he travels.
I do know people, too, that that take old clothes and leave them,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, on the return. So there's that aspect of doing things.
There's
too.
Ways to get around it.
Speaking of Manhattan, we were talking about favorite places that people should consider this summer. Dan tweets in that his family is renting an apartment in Manhattan for a week. And the kids are going to go to a computer camp in Boston and eco camp at Busch Gardens. So there are alternatives to these expensive resorts. And you would have the facilities that you're used to at home, i.e. a kitchen, a full kitchen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I really like the idea of condocations. That's what I call them. You know, you guys were earlier talking about staycation. That was so 5 years ago. I tell you, do the condocation now. I mean, so many of these, you know, even luxury suites, they're decked out. So good job, Dan.
Yeah. And then Ted tweets in with a nearby destination, and he just got back, Fripp Island off the coast of Beaufort, South Carolina. It is Beaufort, North Carolina. It is Beaufort, South
That's
Carolina.
Correct.
And the spelling is identical, but Fripp Island. Been there?
I was there many years ago. It's a nice place. All the places along the coast are very nice, and you can find more deals there than you would think, simply because so many people bought them, and now they're tied to work. They have to rent it out.
Yeah.
You can go down to Folly and you can find the same thing at Folly Beach.
We were going around the table on favorite destinations. Mine, personally, would be what David wrote about on our Facebook page, Mount Desert Island, Bar Harbor, Maine. Nice change of pace. Just driving up the coast of Maine, to me, affordable, absolutely stunning beauty. He also went to San Diego, then took a convertible Mustang up the coast to San Francisco.
Oh, and I'm going to get in on this Northern conversation because I tell you what, one of my favorite things to do, and I'm going to recommend this to anyone out there, and, you know, this is a bucket list type thing, but get to Yosemite National Park. One of those places, you know, I love what Bob, you know, has mentioned about the cathartic nature of travel. And I tell you, Yosemite, you will find your chi.
Yeah.
You will rediscover that life force inside each
Go
one.
Go see what Ansel Adams, what really fascinated Ansel Adams so much. Let's go to the phone lines here. Here is Jamie, there we go. Jamie in Charlotte. Jamie, are you there?
I am.
How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great.
I love to travel. It's one of the things that, you know, my husband and I said that if we never won the lottery, we'd pay off all the relatives and then just go travel. You know, I grew up in Connecticut, and my grandparents in the 50s did not have a lot of money, to say the least. And they had four kids, and they would pack up in their station wagon. Anybody remember those? And an old army tent and some camping equipment, and that's exactly, you were talking about Bar Harbor. They would go up to Maine. They went all over Maine. They came all the way down here to North Carolina with a tent. If you're absolutely completely broke, I still think there's ways to get out there and travel. And I'm talking like if you only have like $150 to travel on, there's still ways to do it. There's still ways to get out of town. And, you know, the other thing is I have a friend who just went to China and Nepal, and I believe all she brought was a carry-on.
Oh, my.
Because, you know, every place she was staying, there was a sink. If there's a sink and running water, you can wash your clothes.
Right.
So, you know, and she would just reuse clothes and make sure everything that she brought pretty much matched.
Fantastic. Yeah. Jamie, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the recommendations. Bob Taylor.
You know, talking about Nepal, adventure travel place, and it's not terribly expensive. I mean, getting there is expensive, but once you're there, it's not a terribly expensive place. And you do see a lot of backpackers heading for base camp around Mount Everest, and it's an exotic destination and really interesting. So,
And she was speaking somewhat to your point about that it should be an experience, not just a destination, but it's the experience that's priceless.
Yeah, you know, a lot of travel writers talk about air travel today, and what they miss about traveling today is the old ocean liners that used to do transatlantic crossings. And it used to be in the old days of travel that getting there was as much of the destination as the destination itself. And air travel, modern air travel, has taken a lot of that away. But you're right, the experience is well worth the effort.
Anybody sensing that there will be a contingent of folks from Charlotte, from the Carolinas, heading over to London next month for the Olympics?
I think that if they haven't made plans already, they're going to be in for long lines and long waits and high prices. I think that there are other places in the British Isles to go to as well, but going there for the Olympics, I'm not really sure about that. The great thing about going to London is like it's like going to Boston or going to Savannah, in that you have to find things of a range of activities. If you want, again, food, if you want culture, if you want something athletic to do, there are a lot of places to do that. When you're selecting where you want to go on your vacation this year, whether it's in North Carolina or whether it's somewhere very, very far away, look at the various range. Look at the width of the range of offerings, because you're going to want that, and that's increasingly popular.
I will say that I did hear one travel expert advise that if you wanted to go to the Olympics, believe it or not, there are still tickets to the venues. The City of London is offering free transportation on the day of, if you have a ticket to an event, they will offer you free transportation, just flash the ticket. Go near the end of the Olympics. Take in a day or two or three of the Olympics, and then see the rest of the British Isles.
There's a strategy right there.
Yeah, England is such a small country anyway. You can easily get to Wales and Scotland. There are lots of beautiful villages and towns all around London, York, Chester, Rye. There's an infinite, Bath is another one, infinite number of places that you can go where you can stay outside and come into the city and do day trips and still enjoy the Olympics if you want to go.
We ask our Facebook, Twitter followers where they're going this summer, and some of the responses. Dennis writes in, my wife and I are always fly direct because it dramatically decreases the odds of the airline losing your checked baggage. To a John Bortson's point, but a new trend by the airline troubles me, charging additional fees for seating choices.
Right.
Okay, the aisle or the window preference. I'd love to hear the opinions about the revenue enhancements by the airlines.
Chris, they're going to be splitting up families now. I mean, could you imagine if you had a young daughter or a young child and you're not going to be able to sit next to each other or something like that? One would, you know, and I think the idea of splitting up families is not a good thing. And I think the airline industry needs to really caution itself, is kind of take a look at their policies.
What's the outside for how long a trip would take you by car before you start thinking about flying there, Bob Taylor?
By car before I start thinking about flying? Wow, that's a good question. Gosh, I don't know. Maybe
7 to 8 hours.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah,
maybe so. It depends on. It actually depends on the style of vacation you're planning to do. I mean, if your final destination is 7 or 8 hours away, probably the flying is better. But if there's a lot of things that you want to see en route, that's a different animal. So, driving would be a better way to go, because you can make stops. I know my grandchildren go out to the Outer Banks every year, and I guess they could fly out because it's a long way, but they stop en route and do sightseeing on the way, and it breaks up the trip, and they have a great time.
John?
I think one thing you need to factor in is convenience, okay? When you're in an airplane, well, inside of an airplane is an inside of an airplane, okay? But if you are planning on, if you are going a very large appreciable distance, it's not that expensive. One thing that has been very low is rental cars. When I fly back to Wisconsin, I fly to Milwaukee or to Minneapolis and then just get a rental car, and it's cheaper than if I would have driven, okay? If I'm stopping along the way to see people, and this gets into the time pressure question, then, you know, just go ahead and drive because you're going to save money. It all depends on how you want to spend your time and where you want to spend it. And then you can just make your plans for money saving accordingly.
And John's exactly right. You know, the car, the automobile that I got in San Diego was, I think, $695 a day.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. And the thing is, you can also do that here. You know, stop by the airport if you're going on a long road trip and just pick you up a rental car.
I was going to ask that question.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you not doing it that way, can you not also get a more fuel-efficient car?
Right.
What if yours happens to be a gas guzzler?
Well, not only that, but there are people who now, instead of taking their regular cars on a trip, they'll say, well, you know, we got little Freddie in the back seat here, and he gets kind of jumpy. Let's just rent a van that has one of these drop-down TVs there that we don't have in our car. We get fuel efficiency then, and, you know, he can keep busy watching his cartoons.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Rob's been waiting for a while. Rob, thanks for calling in there.
You bet. So I lived in Charlotte for about 6 years, and we had to move away to Northwest Arkansas. And I'm back right now. I did a surprise visit to my mom for her birthday. And two things I want to say. Number one, you can plan a Facebook trip. So I looked to see who was along the way between here and there. And I sent him a message saying, hey, can my boys and I crash on your couch for the night? The girl I hadn't seen in 20-some-odd years, and we had a great time catching up, and it was a free place to stay, and she had a free night of entertainment. And so that's a fun thing to do and really cheap. And then I also wanted to put in a plug for Northwest Arkansas. We just opened the Crystal Bridges Museum, and if you're into modern art at all, if you go to the Mint Museum here in Charlotte, you will love the Crystal Bridges Museum.
Now, is Northwest Arkansas, is that the Ozarks?
Yes, it is.
It is the Ozarks.
I used to live in Kansas City, and we'd always go down to Eureka, which is a very beautiful part of the state.
Absolutely, and I was going to bring that up, too. That's a great little artistic community. There's great music and food and art and crafts and stuff there. There's America's National River, the Buffalo is there. Great place to go and what they call floating for a day. We would call going on a canoe trip. They say going on a float. And there's just tons of stuff to do up there. So if you're looking for a place to go, Northwest Arkansas is a good place to go.
Speaking of thanks, Rob. Thanks for the phone call on that. Take care. Speaking of the couch surfing, that was the article in the Observer just yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
One of the things that he hearkens to is that something that I did when my college roommate came down last November and we went down to Folly Beach. We spent Saturday there, and we probably covered less than 80 square miles. Just because when we got there, we just wanted to kick back and explore the whole area. You don't have to have a heavily scheduled time. I prefer not to schedule day by day by day. It just gets too much like work.
But Bob Taylor is a fan of having a pretty good idea, though. What you're going to do over that vacation
right,
area.
But see, with something like that, the itinerary is already set, so you're just along for the ride, and you don't have to worry, what are we doing tomorrow?
Yeah,
so, well, let's look at the list.
What I mean by that, if I can clarify, is that too many people look at something. For example, a lot of people come to the United States, they say, well, I got 4 free days in the United States. I'm going to go to New York, Grand Canyon, San Francisco. I mean, it just doesn't
it's
work.
It's not going to happen that way.
And that's what happens. What looks good on paper doesn't always translate to logistically being able to get around. So if you really pay attention and do your homework, you can be flexible in your schedule and still get around.
And maximize the effort.
Exactly.
That's Bob Taylor, travel writer with the Charlotte Observer, as well as the Washington Times travel editor for the Charlotte Observer. John Bortson is with us, as well as Mark Vanek. Blog is called Flying Standby with Mark Vanek. Back with more right after this.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Athena Health, offering physicians a dinner seminar on meaningful use and profitability Thursday at the Ballantine Hotel and Lodge. Details at athenahealth.com/Charlotte. Coming up next at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show, a conversation about the growing threat of cyber warfare. Flame, Stuxnet, Plan X. Governments, businesses, and consumers are under attack. We'll look at the growing threat of cyber warfare on the Diane Rehm Show at 10 on 90.7 WFAE. If you'd like to join our conversation this morning about summer travel, now's the time to call 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or join us online at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hello, it's Garrison Keeler with the Prairie Hump Companion, heard across the Carolinas from the Piedmont to the Appalachians and at the intersection of Queens and Queens right here on WFAE. Each week, show brings you great music, comedy, sound effects, the news from Lake Wobegon. Saturday evenings at 6, and if you miss that one, you can listen to the repeat on Sunday at noon on listener-supported 90.7 WFAE.
We're back on Charlotte Talks. I'm Chris Clackham, sitting in for Mike Collins. Our guests today include from the travel editor for the Charlotte Observer, John Bortson, travel writer whose work appears in the Washington Times as well as the Observer, Bob Taylor, and Mark Vanek, who has his blog Flying Standby with Mark Vanek. Again, we ask our Facebook, Twitter followers to where they're going this summer. Some ideas. Kristen on Facebook said they're going to head to Maine and to Oak Island. Jane says a drivable trip. They're heading to D.C. D.C.'s a fantastic standby, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Easy to get to. And
there's so much that is free.
Yeah. She was saying only 6 hours away. Once you get there, so many attractions, free, very low cost. Catch a couple of baseball games between the two Major League Baseball teams, the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles. And plenty of things to do up there. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to jump in. You know, we're talking about inexpensive, you know, regional places to go, but there are also international destinations that are quite reasonable, Bob, wouldn't you agree? And one of those is Negril, Jamaica. I know I'm shifting gears a little,
yeah,
but I really love Jamaica. And I tell you what, you can get these hotels right on the cliffs of Negril, overlooking the Caribbean Sea, with just a beautiful aesthetic view. And for what, 40, 50 bucks?
Oh, my gosh.
Go this time of year, you're going to find it a lot cheaper simply because it is the hot season down there.
Yeah.
If you don't mind heat, well, you live in the Carolinas, right? Just a couple more degrees and you can get a very good deal down in the Caribbean.
Do you see that there is a big appetite overseas for U.S. tourism dollars, John? Europe especially, I think.
Yeah, I do. Tourism is such a key economic component to many of these countries that if they do not have the tourists coming in, the whole economy suffers. They welcome tourists. In Southern Europe, particularly this year, that is the case. A friend of mine led tours every summer to Europe out of the Twin Cities. It got canceled this year because she could not get enough people. They got scared because of the economic crisis. Well, if you go over there with your American-earned money, you don't have to worry about that. There's deals like nobody's business to be found over there. If you're an American over there, you're very welcome over there because they need you. They welcome tourists. That's where they're coming from these days.
Any place that you need to feel unsafe, Bob Taylor?
Any place that I need to feel unsafe?
Right. That you need to worry about.
Well, there are lots of places, you know, if you go on the internet, you can get government advisories as to, you know, travel.
From
travel
the U.S. State
from
Department.
The U.S., exactly. Right. But mentioning that, we were talking before this show went on, you had been to Jerusalem, and a question for you that I had is, did you feel any sense of urgency? You're in the Middle East in Jerusalem, which is a place that's in the news all of the time.
Right.
And constantly, but my experience when I was there is that I felt no sense of urgency or no sense of fear. Obviously, any place that you go, as John said earlier, there's places that you can have. I mean, there's places in Charlotte that you just don't go certain times of the day or night. But if you're just smart and travel travel smart. There's really no reason not to go just about any place that you want to go.
Ann writes in, my son, daughter-in-law, and grandson left in May heading for the Grand Canyon. They're now heading for Montana by way of California, Oregon, and Washington. Each night, my grandson, Thomas, writes a trip report of their day, sometimes 7 pages long. Great assignment for the youngster. And it's so interesting. His writing makes me feel like I'm in the car with him. Don't know when they'll head south again, but glad they're out there. Guess they'll have to come home when they run out of money. But good for them, eh?
You know, one of the things that we did last year, we took our grandchildren to Normandy. And one of the things that they had to do to be able to go on the trip is they each had to do a report on some aspect of the travel in Normandy, and they came back, and it was an eye-opening experience for them.
Can you think of that's a pretty doggone good gift, in fact, is the experience of a travel, an exotic or sophisticated travel destination, John?
Exposure is always good. Yeah. And depending on the trick, of course, is lining up your interests or the interests of your kids, if that's where you're making this trip, to something that is accessible to them and their interests. You can do this just about any place that you go, whether it's foreign or domestic.
One of you guys was advocating that it's now time, John, I think it's you, in fact, it's now time for us to start thinking about a river cruise, especially down the Mississippi.
Those are very expensive.
Yeah.
They are expensive, but they are fun. You don't even have to do it there. You can do that in Charlotte. Up at the Queen's Landing, you can take a river trip. You can take river trips in many, many places.
To include Europe.
Oh, Europe?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that is getting very, very popular is the Danube and the Elbe cruises, the Rhine cruises. You see history. You see culture, you see beautiful landscapes. One of the great things, and this is one of the things that I do like about cruises, is that you don't have to worry about where you're going to be spending the night. You just get back in your canal boat if you're in France, or your barge if you're in one of the major rivers, and there you go, one less thing to worry about.
Bob Taylor's not a fan of cruising, but the river cruise makes more sense.
River cruising is becoming one of the fastest growing aspects of the travel, the international travel market. Sea cruising is a different animal, but river cruising, the ships they're like stretch limos. They're small capacity, only about 150 passengers on the boat. Same concept as a seagoing cruise, but the ports are a lot closer. Most of your side trips are included, which is not true of a seagoing cruise. And as John said, the Rhine, the Danube, the Seine, the Black Sea, Moscow and St. Petersburg, up and down the rivers there.
Volga River,
Volga River. They're doing the Yangtze now in China. They're doing river cruises through the canals and waterways of Holland for the tulips and the Floriade, which is going on, which only happens every 10 years. River cruising is really an economical way in Europe to see a lot and do a lot. And so I am a big fan of river cruises.
And speaking of being close to the water, many of our listeners are writing in, well, where they're headed this summer. Aaron is headed to the Outer Banks this summer, then Hawaii in October. Jessica is going to Madrid, London, Inverness, and the Shetland Islands off the coast of Scotland. Tim is going to Cathead Bay in Northport, Michigan. It's how northern transplants do the beach, the cool, clear waters of Lake Michigan, the lower peninsula, the upper part of the lower peninsula of Michigan. Sounds
they have the big sand dunes on Lake Michigan as well. Yeah,
that's down near Gary, where I think he's talking about. It's more the cherry country.
Yeah, and it's Traverse City.
Traverse City. It's beautiful up there, and you can find history at Beaver Island. There's just a lot of great things to do in that area. There's great things wherever you go.
And tell Jessica to count me in. I like that Madrid, London, and Shetland Island trip.
John, you also wrote that people want to travel differently nowadays. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
I think people are looking for a well-rounded experience. It used to be they'd go with one thing in mind, but time is so precious now, they want a variety of experiences. One of the things that's also come up in the United States is the linked destination, the trails. Not the Appalachian Trail per se, but for example, like the Thread Trail. There was somebody who was putting together a beer trail in North Carolina. Just various different things where you can go from one place to the other. It's kind of like in the old days in California where you go from one mission to the next. It gets back to the essence of pilgrimages, which goes back to medieval travelers. But people, you know, they're looking for different ways to get the vicarious experience.
What's the most interesting place you've ever been to in your life, you think?
I loved being at the sitting on the very, very top of Chichen Itza at
Chichen
sunset.
Chichen Itza in the Yucatan Peninsula of
right.
Mexico.
And watching the mist just, you know, coming down as the temperature changed. It was just an amazing sight.
Yeah, yeah. Haleakala on the island of Maui when you're up the top there.
Haven't been there.
For a sunrise, but Mark Vanek, yours.
Oh, I'd love Maui, definitely. Just taking a little stroll down the beach of the beautiful, comfortable sand. I mean, it's just like it's carpet. It's just a beautiful area.
Most interesting place you've ever been to?
Oh, geez. I mean, you know, I was hoping you wouldn't come around to me with that question because I would really have to dig deep, and I'm going to just defer that over to Bob right now while I talk about it. Because,
okay. Well, before I answer, I've been thinking about this all morning. Now, there's two destinations I want to mention. You mentioned one is Belize.
Belize.
Talking about the Mayan calendar.
Correct.
That's a popular destination to go, and I highly recommend that, and it's a good value. And the accommodations down there are fantastic, but adventure travel. And another place that is opening up and is rapidly going to become popular for American travelers is Cuba. Which is now becoming available to American travelers. But if I have to pick one place as the most fascinating place that I have ever been, it would be Petra in Jordan.
Petra
in Jordan.
That's where all the buildings are, or all the structures are built into the rock.
You've seen it in Indiana Jones and when he goes through the canyon on horseback and he comes into the Great Treasury. It's a Nabatean ruin. It was taken over by the Romans, but it would actually take you 2 or 3 days to see the whole place. But it is absolutely the ruins are sculpted into the rock, and it's just a breathtaking destination.
Let's go back to the phone lines here. Here's Larry in Charlotte. Larry, thanks for calling in.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I just wanted to put on the map, and I believe this is in report as becoming one of the number one retirement destinations. I'm nowhere near retirement age, but my wife and I last year went to Ecuador, and we flew into Guayaquil and had a driver, and he drove us to Cuenca in the mountains. It's the third largest city, and we also went to a beach in Olón, and that would basically and we did this for a week, and the cost basically rounded up to what it would cost to be at Disney World for a week. So beautiful scenery, as it was mentioned earlier, with the mist coming down from the Yucatan Peninsula, you see the changing landscapes from a lower tropical up into the Andes into Cuenca. They use the American dollar. They use the American electrical grid. So it's a great way to get just enough change, I guess, you know, and being in South America in a small country. But the people are very friendly. The cuisine was great, great architecture, great landscapes, and the country is not much bigger, I believe, than Colorado in size. So I would highly recommend that one.
Very good. Larry, thanks for calling in. Any comments on Ecuador?
The Galapagos is on my to-do list. It's on my bucket list, and that is one place that I really, really would like to go, and I got to make it. That would be part of one of my 100, even though it is part of Ecuador. That would be I would count that as one of my 100 if I could get there.
Perry writes in, don't forget about North Georgia. That four-hour drive from Charlotte, good starting point, Dahlonega, Gold Museum, plenty of things to do. By the way, just a plug for my native state, the Georgia Aquarium is worth the trip alone. The aquarium, the Georgia Aquarium, is fantastic, if I may be so bold. And then Richard writes in, flying to Europe, fly direct from Charlotte via Lufthansa to Munich, U.S. Airways to Frankfurt, avoid connections, any of the New England delay-prone cities. Amen to that, eh?
It's just one of those things. Getting back to what you said about Georgia, not only northeastern Georgia a very beautiful place, but the drive there is fantastic. One of my favorite drives is from Asheville going out 74 and then down 64. And when you cross over the mountains onto the Teleco Plain at Murphy, you really are feeling like you are no longer in North Carolina. It seems like a whole different state. It's a small area, but it's very, very beautiful.
And remote sections, yeah, it's hard to distinguish the North Georgia from southwestern corner of North Carolina. Is I do want to touch on this before we have to wrap up the program, though. Well, what are we going to do about what's your advice to people who are going to stay in the region? They're not going to fly, but they're going to be faced with these astronomical gasoline prices.
The prices have been going down.
Yeah.
I think that if they go up a little bit, it's just part of the cost of going somewhere. You don't have to go far. You can go up to Silva up in the North Carolina mountains and have a great time. You can go down to the beach and have a great time.
Bob?
There's lots of B&Bs around. You can go to the mountains. Lake Coxsackie is a wonderful area in North Carolina, which is not too far. Cashers, Rhone Mountain in Tennessee is a beautiful area.
Sapphire Valley, the Cashiers.
All of those areas and destinations are beautiful areas to go, and might cost you a little more with the gas prices. But again, as John says and Mark says, you know, build that into the cost and build that into the price of your destination. And
that's right. Summer's here. Throw caution to the wind. Get out of Dodge for a second.
And let me borrow your
Let
me borrow your credit card in the process. That's
Mark
Vanek, flying standby with Mark Vanek, Bob Taylor, travel writer with The Observer, The Washington Times. Good luck to you, Bob.
Thank you.
John Bordson, travel editor for The Charlotte Observer. Take your advice. Let's all hit the road. Thanks for joining us here on Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is